The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hey, we're back again, and you know what? Things are going to sound a little differently. So today is the experiment day.
Yes.
We've got new microphones, lavalier microphones. If you don't know what that is, sometimes it's called a lapel mic. Mm-hmm. That's one where we've got a microphone pinned to our lapels, and it is omnidirectional, so it's going to pick up everything. But we're both going to be in the same channel because I've got two different sets. I've got a set that's two microphones come into one receiver. I've also got a single microphone, so we can go up to three people can be mic'd up now.
Hey, we hope we do not rappel you.
Yeah, but we are back. I wasn't sure if I was going to have a show this week, but there was enough fun stuff. I said, why not? And I wanted to try these mics out because this is now one step closer to the new podcast. The thing is, we have to figure out when we're going to do it, and I decided I'm going to call it Watching Movies with My Pastor because I think that's funny.
I like it.
And it's better than just, you know, talking during the movie because a lot of people are doing that kind of thing. But watching movies with my pastor, because a lot of people are going to cringe like, ooh, there's stuff I watch. I wouldn't want my pastor to know I'm watching.
Well, unfortunately, the pastor sometimes watches things that your pastor doesn't want him watching.
So that'll be the funny part is, like, we've known each other since we were kids.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's you know, we'll watch whatever. So I thought that'd be fun. I'm still working on the artwork, and I want to have a few movies ahead of the game before we start releasing. And we got to coordinate time that maybe we can watch a movie every week. And my schedule might be changing around. I auditioned for a acting group that's apparently they were on Shark Tank.
Oh,
I forgot what the name of the company was, but we're like the 23rd branch of it here in Kansas City.
Oh, nice.
And this is where you do events as characters, and you do like murder mystery dinners.
Oh, I like
you might be doing a class reunion. You might be doing some wealthy person's party. You could be doing a regular event. They were saying that they even had an event going on yesterday that in like, you know, Times Square in New York, which I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that, by the way, yesterday, September 1st, which I would like to have recorded maybe this last week. September 1st is beginning of term at Hogwarts, which I just found out this year that they have an event now around the world. They call it Back to Hogwarts Day.
That's neat.
So different events kind of happen, and they actually put the movies back in theaters yesterday for one day only.
I thought I'd heard something about them come back, and I thought maybe, this is just me, I thought maybe there's something special they were doing, like I'm talking about, like adding something, but I didn't hear anything about it, so I figured maybe I was wrong.
Same, well, they might have put the extended editions.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Because some of them, I do prefer the extended editions.
Yeah.
I forgot to say, this is Pastor Phil, Lost Boy Phillip is over here with me. Right. My goodness.
Pastor Pat.
I get introduced in the intro, and you don't.
Oh, well, that's okay.
That's appropriate. We say something.
Yes.
Sorry. I just thought of that.
They sometimes call me Pastor Pack.
Pastor Pack.
Yeah, that's right.
PAC, pretty hot and comfy?
They're pretty hot and comfy. Sometimes I'm so hot, and I'm talking about in the summer, it's not that comfy.
Yeah. Well, it's today, it cooled off. The high is only 71 degrees, which is why I'm wearing pants. I was going to wear shorts, but then I realized,
that is my initials.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what. When Mayor Pac-Man came out, I
wouldn't give your full name
I'm not
on
going
the
to.
Show.
I'm not going to.
Identity theft.
No, I'm not going to.
Or as they say on that story, or used to say on that story show, stalkers, when somebody would give too much information, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, but when I was a little kid and Pac-Man came out, and I realized I was like maybe 6 or 7.
Because you were the Pac-Man.
I think I was 6 when I realized that it was my initials, and that was just the coolest thing, was to be able to realize that I was the Pac-Man. And I was wearing yellow sometimes, so that was really cool.
You know, the fun thing about having these lapel mics that are wireless, I can get up and walk around the room.
Yes,
that's fun. I'm back here, and you hear me as if I'm right there.
Fun.
I'm doing crazy stuff. We're playing with the mics. And so you can hear, I'm near a vent over here. You can hear all kinds of different sounds. But yet, you know. So we're going to have some fun with these lapel mics. Other than that podcast that we're working on, I hope I don't make too much noise when I set my transmitter down. But if we go on the road somewhere, we can mic up. And we can record stuff for even this show, because I do want to still keep this show rolling as best I can, although it might be starting to come down a bit. In fact, due to a problem I've had where I can feed the RSS feed from where I host this on Red Circle, I can feed that RSS feed to YouTube, and it'll put on Google Podcasts for me now. I have run into some problems lately with the trailer park, where it used to be maybe because they played a song in a trailer park that it wouldn't quite understand what was going on, and so I might get a little bit of a copyright thing marked. It wouldn't block it necessarily. But it would say something. But I'm having problems now lately. Warner Brothers and I think some other movies companies are getting upset with the trailer audio being in the podcast, and they're blocking. And where it came to the final straw was there's an anime coming from Studio Ghibli. It's an old movie from the 90s. It's going to be on Netflix. And last week I was trying to put the trailer into it. Those of you on Red Circle got to hear it. Those of you on Google didn't, because I had to edit it out because it blocked it everywhere. To where it couldn't even go out.
So, and that doesn't even count as free advertisement.
And fact that I'm flipping advertising for movies, because that's why I was able to do it, because it's an ad.
Yeah.
So now I'm not going to do that. But if you are an exclusive member to Red Circle or a Patreon subscriber, I will be editing in the trailer park segment if there's some good trailers that we want to react to, because some people like trailer reactions. That's kind of why I do it. So it will still be part of those shows, but I'm going to have to remove it from the regular feed.
Now, I'm going to mention my ignorance here. Can you even mention the film?
If I want to talk about it, if we want to review something. Yeah. But really, I'm going to make that exclusive. Only those people who are willing to become patrons or become exclusive subscribers, which does help pay for the show, they will get our reactions to trailers. But otherwise, we'll still have fun talking if there's any new things going on or any fun things, any retro stuff.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Castlevania Dominus Collection.
Oh, really?
It's coming out. I think it's actually already out. This was originally, a few games originally released on the Nintendo DS. The collection includes Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, Portrait or Ruin, and Castlevania Order of Ecclesia. Or Ecclesia, maybe, I don't know. Three games that, unless we had a Nintendo DS, you never got to play. Mm-hmm. So they're being released as a collection, which I've appreciated. Konami's been releasing Castlevania collections. They've got a legacy collection that has, of course, they did a Contra Complete collection there a while back, which I got on my Nintendo Switch. But they released a Castlevania collection that had like the first three or four games. And then they released a set that I bought that has Rondo of Blood, which I think it was released as Castlevania 4 on Super Nintendo and Rondo of Blood in Japan. But it is the only one that I really enjoy, because there's people who are hardcore into Castlevania. I'm not, but I loved Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which is one of the games that, along with Super Metroid, began what the game genre they can now call a Metroidvania. But basically, if you don't know what that is, because I see Philip going, what's that? Metroidvania would be, you have an entire big mapped area, and there's certain areas you can't get into until you get certain items. Or you're not going to stand a chance to these enemies until you have maybe certain weapons. But you gain new things like, for example, Metroid was one of the first ones to do it back on the NES, but Super Metroid really perfected it. So say you might come up to an area where, oh my goodness, there's this big pit and there's this boiling lava down below. I can't cross it. What are these things up in the ceiling? They look like a grappling thing. And then eventually, oh look, now I found a grappling hook laser thing. And so now you gain the ability to grapple across that ceiling, and now you can cross that room later. But you have to leave it and come back. And Castlevania Symphony of the Night did similar things to that, where, you know, they would have
there's doorways normally you would go through, but there'd be a blue glowing door that until you get a certain item, you can't open it. There would also be rooms that maybe there's spikes on the ceiling and the floor, and you can't step on and walk on the spikes until you get a certain armor called the Spike Breaker. So it became this whole genre of being able to, like, find new items, and you become more powerful, and you level up, and then you're able to go and then explore new parts of the castle. And I love it. Symphony of the Night is fantastic. And I've tried to play Rondo of Blood, but it's the old school style that I am terrible at. And I'm worse now. The older I get, the worse I am at video games. It happens.
Well, I'm pretty much one-handed when it comes to games.
Yeah.
I have a hand that doesn't work as good as it used to, because I've had, as you all know, I've mentioned
seven
before,
surgeries,
I've had seven brain surgeries, and it was the second to the last. It wasn't really the surgery itself, but I had some seizures just a couple hours later, and four within a matter of an hour or so.
Yeah.
And my nerves are pretty gone in that hand. The hand that I usually feel seizures coming in. And so
you lost a lot of feeling and stuff.
Yeah,
too,
it's about half. We'll say about more than half gone in that hand. So I do still play games, but it's a little difficult. Let's just say I'm a lot slower in both my
Something
hands.
That needs a lot of quick reflex stuff. You're not going to.
Yeah. So I'm not very. Let's just say this. I'm not very good at playing video games, but I still enjoy it.
You have fun wrestling.
Yeah. So I know I'm going to lose most of the games when it comes to wrestling and other things, but I love doing it so much. It's like, oh well.
Yeah.
To me, losing is part of the fun too, because I don't want to be.
Play.
Yeah, I don't want to be the kind of person that wins every game. What's the fun of that?
Yeah. And I play stuff. I like to go on the stories and join the adventure, so
there
I don't
you
mind.
Go.
I don't. You know, I'll play it on easy or story mode. I'm like, I don't care. But if I want to challenge myself, I'll up that difficulty.
Nah, I always put on difficult when it comes to wrestling games.
Yeah, you have to, because otherwise it's not a challenge.
It's not fun.
It's not fun to win and just dominate.
But I will say it does get
spelled shield wrong. It's I before you accept.
I always do. Why do I always do that?
Didn't you ever see that Peanuts thing? It was, which one is it?
You know, really,
it was a movie. It's where he goes to the spelling bee.
Yes,
I think You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. Oh no, It's a Boy Called Charlie Brown.
Yes, but you're going to get embarrassed. I'm only going to get embarrassed at this. Is I told myself, remember, it's I for E, and I still put the E first.
Yeah, he's working on a sermon with that, and I mainly know how to spell it because
name.
No.
Oh,
stalkers.
sorry.
Stalkers.
Take that out.
Yeah. Well, of course, anyone who's joined the group gets to see my full name because I share stuff on there anyway. But yeah, I'm careful about that. But
no, it's because you love that Marvel show that did so well.
That too. I did enjoy that. I didn't watch the entire thing. But anyway,
no,
Castlevania Dominant is coming out. I believe it is already out for pre-order, if not completely out entirely.
Did they ever make a Castlevania show, like a cartoon?
Yes, there is an anime.
That's what I remembered. I
cannot endorse it. It is very hard R.
Is it really?
Not just for violence, but for other things. Yes. Heather tried to watch it, and I mean, I tried to watch it, but oh my gosh, the language was ridiculous.
Because I was kind of excited they were making one.
Heather tried to watch it, and she's like, oh, and she was like, nope, there's
lots of things.
Male genitalia for one.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Moving along. We don't want to talk and dwell on that too much.
No.
Okay, so Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics has a release date. Have you gotten to, did I show you this?
I don't think so.
Do you? Okay, so this is the Marvel collection, right? So this is that X-Men fighting
that's
game.
That's one I was thinking.
The Marvel Superheroes one.
Yes.
And then when they started doing, they did X-Men versus Street Fighter, and then suddenly they did Marvel versus Capcom, and they did a series of those.
I remember America shield of some sort. I remember something being
Captain America was in this.
Yes. I remember that. I remember they shielded, he'd throw it, and he'd say something.
Shield strike.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and
what
And you
it
can
was.
Team them up.
Yeah.
By the time Marvel versus Capcom, you can have two. So I was always Spider-Man and Wolverine on the team.
Yes.
I remember that.
One Hulk, one of them?
Yeah, Hulk is playable on Marvel Super Heroes, so they brought him into the Capcom. And when they did the Capcom versus Marvel, they started getting more characters.
I always wanted Thing. I always wanted to have Thing.
I don't think they ever put him in.
But
they've got some that were console ones. Thing might be in one of those, but like some of the later ones, people said they weren't
they
very good.
They needed the Fantastic Four, all of them.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all their powers? That'd be so much
fun.
Heck,
you could Dhalsim the heck out of a Fantastic,
yes.
Mr. Fantastic. But this is all the arcade games that we haven't gotten to play in like 30 years.
That'd be fun.
Nintendo Switch, PS4, PC. Of course, the PS4 version will work on your PS5.
Sure.
September 12th. Pre-order has begun. In fact, I get a paycheck by then. Now, the question is, do I want to get the Epic Mickey? Epic Mickey, rebrushed, I found out, is going to be coming out for the full $60.
So is this like
redone? Yeah, it's the same game, just fixed up with the HD. Which normally when that happens, it's about 20 to 30.
I
thought, okay, no problem. I'll just get that. But now I found out it's coming out for $60. I'm like, that's the cost of a brand new game.
That's a bit much.
I smell Disney's greedy fingers in there. But now this being a collection of arcade games, it might be worth it if it's still $60. But I think I'm going to get this Marvel vs. Capcom before I get Mickey rebrushed.
Sure, I don't mind.
Because,
This is something I've been waiting for because I used to love to play these in the arcade. I'd play Marvel Superheroes in the arcade and beat it with Spider-Man. It took me so many quarters. Now it won't cost me a single quarter because I've already bought it.
There you go.
But speaking of games, and this is something I think hopefully you'll be able to play, because I have the full-blown PlayStation account. I play, so I get classic games. Speaking of, and I didn't put it down as a news thing for some reason, but September 3rd, and I've been talking about tomorrow, I guess, for a few weeks. Yes, sir. So there's this Quidditch. Not, you remember they had a Quidditch World Cup. I think you got to play
that. Oh, yeah, I love that one.
It's a brand new Quidditch game coming out tomorrow. Now, the full...
I think I saw a commercial
for that. Yeah, the disc version and all that will come out in November, but for a PlayStation Access memberships, tomorrow. And it will be free with your membership.
Oh, I think and I have this, that.
Yeah, you probably got the full membership to get it, so you can download it tomorrow. There's a solo story game, but you can play online with your friends. And you can put your friends, and you could all be on a team. You can be in different teams. And you can have players like, I'm going to play for Gryffindor. Guess who gets to be my seeker? Harry will be my seeker. You know, you get to have characters from the games playing on your teams.
I've been in a Harry Potter mood because the other day on Apple, I downloaded this new John Williams thing that he did in Japan. And that just came out this year.
I bet me drinking my bottle sounds in the microphone.
I got to tell you, although it's still the same music we know, it sounded so different because the people, different musicians.
Yeah. Well, plus you play it live.
Oh,
you
and
know.
It is beautiful. The Harry Potter music, they kept playing different versions. And the Superman music, beautiful. It's beautiful. It's on Apple. It's on Apple. It's on
Apple Music.
It's wonderful. It's gorgeous. And the Superman music had me, of course, it's not going to surprise you, me, and me. Mm-hmm. I was so excited. I was about to run around in the room, and I can't because my knees. But I was so excited.
You wanted to fly around the room. We know you wanted to fly. Okay, I'm going to look for that.
I'm wearing a Superman shirt right now, by the way.
You're always wearing a Superman shirt. When you're not I bet you got a Superman shirt under your tie and stuff when you're preaching.
Yesterday
anyway.
I was wearing Conan.
Okay. Well, I got a Conan figure sitting right next to me over here, and he's got like a big old spear here. I was like, what in the world's that? But yeah, he's got a spear. Okay, so that's everything I got for news. And the trailer park, there will be a short trailer park added for those of you who are exclusive subscribers on Red Circle or Patreon members. You will hear a trailer park, which I only have one trailer for you, but if you want to hear it, become an exclusive membership. By the way, when I start having some members, because I'm lacking members right now. When you become a member, I will let everyone know and thank you for being a donor to the show because you helped make this happen. But until then, I have to pay for the show by doing other things, like talking about Dubby. If you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll see some Dubby logo. It's a big thing that says Dubby. I tell you what, if you're a gamer and we're talking about some video games, you don't want to get the shakes with your energy drink. Dubby has drink powders of all kinds of different flavors. You mix it with water. Oh, heck, you can probably mix it with whatever you want, but it's probably better with water. It might taste weird if you mixed it with your Coke, you know. So, but you put in some water, you mix it up there, you can get a drink bottle for that, and you can drink some water. It's vitamins, it's minerals, it's good for you. It's healthy, it's nutrition, it's not a bunch of caffeine like Monster. So it's not going to give you jitters.
I saw an ad for this yesterday.
Awesome.
Yes, I did.
And now you've heard
interested.
One.
I was interested.
So go to w.gg and you can use the discount code Neverland or just go to my website, click through the links there. Your purchase, I get a little 10% discount for you. Actually, I think I got an email said they're going to do a 20% discount for a limited time. So get on there now and I get a little kickback when you do. And I do appreciate it. But now we're going to, normally this is also a good time because we're going to talk some main topic, because I'm not doing anything trailer. So while we're doing some ads, we're going to take a quick break for a couple of ads right here. If you're a Patreon subscriber or a Red Circle exclusive member, you won't hear these ads. They're going to play right now.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
are you ready to feel old?
I already do.
Now, I already mentioned that they actually had a lot of events actually yesterday for, which, you know, we didn't talk about what I've been playing, which I actually, speaking of being the Harry Potter move, but yeah, so yesterday was September 1st for us when we're recording this. And they had a Back to Hogwarts Day. I've actually been watching, speaking of the Harry Potter films, I have the Ultimate Editions of only Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets. I maybe want to get Ultimate Editions of some other ones, but I don't think they're available. I probably have to pay out the nose on eBay now. But they have the extended editions of the movies that used to get shown, will probably still get shown on cable, but I cut the cord. But the extended edition on Chamber of Secrets really is that much better because it adds a lot more of the book and makes some of the stuff make sense of why Harry is getting accused or thought of to be, you know, all the inner turmoil of why he's being thought to be the heir of Slytherin comes out a bit more. And you have like students that are gossiping about him, all this stuff that gets cut that really, you know, I wish they hadn't cut it, but I understand for time.
It was in the book, right?
Yeah, it's all stuff from the book. And so it makes it better. I want to look, because I've seen that they've got sets, and I think a new set is even going to come out in Blu-ray that's going to be like a 7 to 8 film collection of the original movies. And if it has the extended ones for Blu-ray, that'd be great, because I've got them all digitally, but the digital are the regular versions.
I wouldn't mind buying a set, because you know why. I don't have them anymore, because...
Well, you have access to my Voodoo. You can watch anytime you want. Not the extendeds, but...
No.
The extendeds are something we can watch the upcoming Watching Movies
that's
with
true.
My Pastor. Boom!
There you go. That'd be great.
So you get to see it. If you've never seen these extended editions, so far I only have the first two movies extended. They're like 3-hour versions, but they're totally worth it. They're very, very good. But because I've been kind of a mood, here's the fun thing I've been doing, speaking of what I've been playing. So I brought the PlayStation 3 out of my office and set it in the living room. Because I'd had the thought of, you know, Heather wants to be able to play Castlevania Symphony, speaking of Castlevania Symphony of the Night, she likes that game too, and she wants to be able to play it. It's good for a Halloween time.
Oh, yeah.
And I have it on my PlayStation 3, the original PlayStation version. I've got an enhanced version for PS4 that I can play with on my PS5 and everything. And I got achievements that I can unlock and trophies, so it's kind of fun. But she wanted to be able to play it, and I was thinking, well, it'd be nice to bring the PS3 down into the living room, but where would I put it? And then I realized, wait a minute, the PS3 has a Blu-ray player. Why do I need a Blu-ray player connected to the TV down there if I have the PlayStation there? So I put that there, but that opened up room for my GameCube downstairs. So I kind of miss playing Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. So I've moved that up into my office, and I'll get a chance to play with that later. And then that opened up room for I could get my old Xbox 360 and hook it up. So I've got that hooked up. I had to go and redo some of my login stuff and have it find my account all over again. This is the third time I think I've done it. But I still have my old Xbox collection of all the Harry Potter games, except for Deathly Hallows Part 2, because the Deathly Hallows game was terrible. They tried to turn it into a first-person shooter. It was awful. So I didn't get the last one. But I have all those old Harry Potter games. So I started playing with those, plus the old Spider-Man movie games, playing with those a little bit.
I had those, yeah.
Yes. All the stuff that I've hung on to, I've been just loving it because I get to play with those again. But that's kind of why I've been like, I want to watch some Harry Potter here because I can play with the games and stuff like that.
I think it was Spider-Man 2. I think it was that game that I liked so much. It was like a full world there. Like I could be wrong. Maybe I'm
Spider-Man 2 was open world.
Yeah. I enjoyed that a lot.
That was great.
Of course, that was my favorite of the movies, those movies.
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces of 3 this morning. I was watching some show on YouTube and they were showing bits and pieces of 3, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that film.
The director's cut of that is actually better.
Oh, I've now seen the director's cut of that movie.
Voodoo, once again, brother.
There you go. Hey,
plus,
right.
Voodoo also has the Spider-Man 2.1, where
it's
a little bit some extended, and also it swaps out the elevator scene for different jokes.
I remember that, yeah.
So, plus, you get to see Jonah Jameson wearing the Spider-Man suit.
Yeah, that part I like.
That's the best part.
I love that guy. That actor is a good actor. On this Spider thing, I've seen him in... he's hilarious. I'm trying to think of the name of that movie. What is it called where you add flavoring? What's it called?
Seasoning?
No, it's like for drinks and stuff. And for I can't think of the name. Anyway, there's a movie by that name, and he's in there, and he wears this his teeth like fake teeth, really. But it's when he wears it, it's all dirty looking, like he's a smoker or whatever. He's so funny. I can't think of the name of the movie right now, but it's Ornery, but it's a funny film. Anyway, he's in it. He's hilarious in that movie. He always is.
When you say Ornery, he's probably got an R. We ain't going to talk about it on
probably,
this show.
But he
not
is
on this podcast.
But he's a funny actor.
He's a great actor. He's so much fun.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, all that to get around to speaking of movies.
Yes.
And I think I said something hopefully in January when Wizard of Oz hit its 80th year.
Yes.
But guess what? This past week hit 60 years. And I know you know because I said it before we started the show. But Mary Poppins, 60 years this week. And thinking
of
that,
favorites.
Thinking of that made me think, Okay, so like, I guess it was a major network. Back when you had like three major networks.
Oh, ABC, NBC, CBS, back in the day. Later on, we had Fox. Yeah.
When we were little, but it was an event around Thanksgiving. You know, you'd get Wizard of Oz would be on, or Dumbo would be on.
Dumbo would be on, yeah.
It was every year. Mary Poppins, I believe, was also an every year movie on at least ABC.
ABC eventually would do that, but you would count the theater at times. Yeah. I remember going and seeing it at the theater when I was like five, six, maybe. I remember seeing it at the theater, and it came out more often than Snow White. Yeah. It really did.
You know how long it took me to appreciate the Mary Poppins, though?
Oh, wow.
Because you know when you're a little kid, you're like, oh, old movie. It's an old movie. And if it's Disney, it's not animated, I don't care. But as you get, you know, a little bit more mature and you're not a five-year-old, because mom would go and rent it and, you know, like, oh, here, we watch this. And I'd be like, oh, I don't care. It's some old
movie.
It was
one of the first things I remember when it came out to rent, right when VHS.
Because the big white jewel case.
Oh, yes. And I love that film. Those. And before they did the white jewel cases, they had just regular cases, but they were, you know, cardboard and all. But then it changed.
They had the whole line where the big oversized.
Oh yeah, ones. They wanted to be different, you know.
Yeah.
And then later on they'd add that little black diamond looking thing on the top.
Oh yeah, like they had like the diamond collection.
I think that's what they called them. They're black. The diamond part was black.
Because they were a white thing, but they were good for black people too. I don't know what you're saying. They were black. I'm like, well, they were white. Black people in charge.
The black diamond.
We're being funny because everybody loves Mary Poppins.
Oh, man. Mary Poppins
is
a great show.
That is still my top number one Disney live action.
You got to grind, grind, grind to that grindstone. That's at the very end. When Dick Van Dyke is singing to the father there.
I haven't watched it in a while. That'll be something else we can watch sometime for the other podcast.
I watch that probably once a year, if not more. Yeah. Got the soundtrack. Love that movie. It gets me every time. And I don't mean cry necessarily, but just gets me every time.
Yeah, it makes you feel good, and you learn.
The cobbles, you know, it's just wonderful.
It's a good movie. It's a good message. It's a good story. And I love the fact that when you find out later that the intention is like, this isn't a movie about Mary Poppins. It's about George Banks.
That's right.
And she's not here to save the children. She's here to save him.
And they even made a good movie about that.
Saving Mr. Banks.
That was a great movie.
I think they even say in that movie, it's about saving Mr. Banks.
Yeah, and
he's the one flailing.
Walt did a good job at bringing that. Even though the writer of the story didn't appreciate the movie very much, it did, in my opinion, she was wrong.
Yeah, it's a great movie. When you're a creator of something like that, it's really hard to see somebody else do it.
Yeah, and she's not the only one. There's a lot of people. The guy who did Never Ending Story, he didn't care for that movie.
There's some other movie that's like this great, fantastic movie that the writer, it was something I think that I talked about.
Wizard of Oz, they liked it, but there's a lot of things. There's a few like that. It happens. Sometimes if people get stupid about it.
Yeah.
Kind of like the original writers get stupid about it. And I don't mean that cruelly, but they do.
Yeah.
Because basically they get a little egotistical about Frank. I can't think of his name.
Frank Miller.
He's an egotistical jerk. But
yeah.
But that's just not my opinion. I mean, I'm not the only one. But the guy's just that way. He's hard to work with. There's a lot of people that way. It's just hard to work with. But at the same time, I got to say, when you already know you work with someone who's touched that way, you don't change everything in the world about his story because you already know he's going to be hard to work with.
And some things, they need to try to keep it as close as possible because of the fan, like Lord of the Rings, right? I was just talking
about
last week.
But I will say,
you know?
There are some people who are easier to work with. Even when they didn't like what they did, it ended up being better than the book because I read most of
Jaws, Jurassic Park.
The movie I read
better.
The book of Jurassic Park and Jaws, and I got to be honest with you, the movie, not just because I've seen those first, the movies are 10 times better than the book.
Yeah.
Now, I will say there's a lot of awesome things in the book of Jurassic Park that weren't in the movie because you just can't.
Yeah, there was some cool scenes that they got to use.
They did
sequel.
Later on add them to the sequel.
Yeah.
And then with Jaws, no.
Yeah, there was a whole nasty thing where it diverts completely away from the shark to a nasty.
It destroys the character.
Yeah, it really does.
Richard Dreyfuss's character would have been destroyed had they done that.
If they'd have done what's actually
in
there.
And the wife. And the other thing that they did, which in the movie they say it's unrealistic, but here's a great thing that they did get to do. The novelist not only was involved with the movie, he was in the movie. He's in the movie.
I think you pointed out to me last time.
Yeah, he's the guy in the film who is the reporter who says, there's a realming shadow over this over the beach, the shadow of a shark. And he's
maybe a realming shadow. I've never heard that.
Yeah, he goes, it's the realming shadow.
Of a looming shadow.
Or maybe it's looming.
Anyways, that one makes sense.
He says, it's of a shark. And yeah, he's in the film. And so he's
I think
there.
You showed me last time we were watching.
And he's evolved. And then the guy who came in and helped rewrite everything, who is also in the film, he's the heavyset dude with the beard. I mean, with the mustache. And he would later on, because he was a great writer, he was a conservative dude who some people didn't get along with in Hollywood. But he was awesome. He went to college with George Lucas and a few other people. And he also ended up doing a movie you might have heard of called Conan the Barbarian.
And he also did
Red Dawn. The reason why I brought the conservative.
The reason why I brought the conservative part
is one reason why people hate it, because they said it was too conservative. But it was a great film.
Who better to fight communists?
And it was exactly. And it was the very first PG-13 movie.
Yeah, when they went official with it.
Yeah, and that was it.
Mary Poppins?
Back to Mary Poppins.
We're talking about Mary Poppins. We chased that rabbit for a long time. Sometimes the movie is better than the book. And Mary
That's
Poppins.
It.
Now, I did go through at least the first book of Mary Poppins. It is enjoyable, but she's a more likable character when you get Julie Andrews in there, because Julie Andrews kept it where she seems like she's super strict and everything, but somehow or another, Julie Andrews, you can see that twinkle in her eye.
Yes, she had
a
sense of sweetness even in her
right. And in the book, you get that it's supposed to be like that. Like, everybody just loves her, but she's like, seems like strict. You're like, this doesn't feel like this.
When I was a kid, and
it might be because I was spoiled from seeing the movie so much. So when I listened to the audiobook, I was, you know, different impression.
Okay, when I was
sneezing to a microphone.
So I covered it. But when I was a kid, like I said, I saw it at this videos, the movie theater.
Theater.
I'm trying to say,
I was about four, maybe five.
And then when we went to school and they started reading us the book of Mary Poppins, I remember, of course, keep in mind, I was young, but I remember thinking, man, she sounds like a jerk.
Yeah.
Because she was real big. Of course, it's British, and British and America is a lot different as far as our mannerisms and all that. So that might have something to do with it.
Yeah. And that's part of my tie together. I was going to talk about how your writer sometimes can be difficult. And I'm sure she's got her reasons. And I'm going to I've got a reason why I'm tying this. Liz the Silver. We've been talking Harry Potter a little bit anyway. Sure. But J.K. Rowling is very adamant about having British actors.
Yes.
Which I always thought was funny, because we've had a British Superman. We've had at least two British Spider-Man now. So, and these are icons of America. And, you know, these are bigger heroes than Harry Potter. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've been around longer. They're icons. And we've had British actors. So I'm like, I think some Americans could play it. But whatever, you know, whatever she likes.
I can understand.
But the reason why I want to bring that up, because I love my Hogwarts theory, because Mary Poppins, you don't see her wand, but she's got her umbrella. And it's even got a special handle. And where did Hagrid hide his wand? In an umbrella.
Uh-huh.
Her wand is in the umbrella. I swear, Mary Poppins, well, and by standards of Hogwarts, she's a witch.
She is partially witch-like.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I always loved her magical ways.
That's where she learned it all.
I always loved her magical ways, that there's magic, and not in a bad way, but in a good way. There's magic.
But she always tries to hide it from Muggles. She pretends it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's right.
See? Yeah. She totally knows. She's trying to obey the Muggles' secrecy. So we don't talk about what happened. When she does something, she says, oh, pish posh, poppycock. You know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's
she's hiding it from the Muggles and the kids.
My favorite part.
No one's
going to
be little kids anyway.
Really, because I was already a huge fan of.
And Dick Van Dyke's character was a squib.
There you go.
He knew about the magic stuff. He born in a wizarding family, but he didn't have any magic in him.
He was my favorite part of that movie. And I know people get really weird about his accent,
but
here's the thing: there's something charming about it,
right?
And the other thing, that Mary Poppins was so big and so huge at the time that they made a wannabe Mary Poppins.
Nanny McPhee.
Well, no, they've done that too. But no, what I was going to say was, at the time, it was so big that the makers of James Bond made a film called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. In fact, Walt Disney was liked. I can think of it, Broccoli, Chubby Broccoli was what they called him.
The guy who did the James Bond films.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's the only movie he did that wasn't James Bond. But it was written.
It's the same writer.
Written by the same guy.
That's why he loaned him the Sherman Brothers.
So he did that. And
songs that didn't make it to Mary Poppins got in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
That's right. And they're so good.
Yes.
That's why it feels like a Chitty Chitty Bang. I mean, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang feels almost like a Mary Poppins type of movie, because it is, in a way.
It is.
And it's a lot of fun. It's got that. And, yeah, okay, so the only difference is that Dick Van Dyke doesn't do an English accent, but it's a really good film. And so I always think of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as Mary Poppins' cousin.
It is.
I really do.
Yeah.
It's got that Mary Poppins feel. And it's a lot of fun.
It actually reminds me, even speaking of the Harry Potter thing in a Disney movie, I can't help it. In Deathly Hallows Part 2, when McGonagall comes out and summons the suit's armor down, and I've always wanted to try that spell. I was insane. They were showing clips of it on YouTube in preparation for Back to Hogwarts Day. I've always said, if they would have just given Angela Lansbury a cameo somewhere.
That's another one.
Because Midnight's a Broomstick, it totally comes to my head when she does that.
And that's another one that came out after Mary Poppins that gives me that Mary Poppins feeling.
Yes, it's very Mary Poppins.
Midnight's a Broomstick, that's a fun film. Mm-hmm. I really love that. Now, when I was a kid, now, but keep in mind, this was before the VCRs had come out. This was 1980.
Betamax?
It was 1982. And they weren't really out. And by
VCR, though.
They weren't huge. Yeah. I mean, they were out in the sense that you could occasionally watch them at school, but they weren't huge. They weren't in the home, home. But rich people had them. Those people who could, but it was very rare. That's why you did have some people who could record stuff in the late 70s, but it's very rare for it wasn't everybody's home. Yeah. That didn't happen until the early 80s. So
it was expensive to buy movies too. So you and your neighbor would get together and hook your VCRs together.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, don't be all high and mighty. You know you did it too, people.
Hey, man, that's the deal. And if they didn't want it that way, you shouldn't have charged $100. I'm not joking.
I kid you not.
They were. Mm-hmm. That's why Disney was one of the big ones that started charging less. And actually, to be truthful about it, Willy Wonka was one of the big ones that did it. And that wasn't a big hit like you might think. Not at the time.
Yeah. Cold hit.
Cold hit. There's a lot of movies like Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
If it weren't for renting, it wouldn't have been the hit it is. Another one that Disney did that I think had that Mary Poppins magic that came out in the 70s was Peace Dragon.
Yeah.
Had that Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Not just because it's partially animated, but it just had that Mary Poppins feel.
Disney movies used to have that magic.
And I miss it.
I miss it because I haven't felt another that one that in had that.
Now, this, now I know this is a controversial, what I'm about to say, but one of my all time favorite Disney movies that had that Mary Poppins feel about it, even before, and it was the very first one, half animated, half. And that is Song of the South.
Love it.
I love it.
It's a good movie.
And it's post-Civil War incident.
Yeah, it is. But the people say, well, it doesn't paint a realistic thing. This is Disney. They don't go for realistic. They're going fanciful. They're trying to tell stories. They wanted to bring the stories of Uncle Remus.
I love Uncle Remus.
To where everybody could learn the stories because Walt loved those stories. And he's bringing a culture to the rest of the world and sharing it and then leaning for his actor to get an Oscar. And they gave him an honorary. Didn't give him a real Oscar, although he deserved it.
Absolutely. I love that man.
He was fantastic.
I dreamt about him a month ago. I love that guy, Uncle Remus. I love Uncle Remus.
Yeah.
He helped me when I was a
great
kid.
Actor.
He helped me when I was a kid to realize that, and I'm talking four, he helped me to realize
I'm getting into my factoids here.
He helped me to realize that life is what you make of it.
Like a movie, right?
There you go. Handy. It's what you make of it. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to focus because I pulled up like the Wikipedia page for Mary Poppins, but I maybe we'll just focus on, for those of you that stuck around through the we've lost Disney because Disney left us, talking about I still love what Disney used to be and I still love the old movies.
Well, with that movie,
and like
Mary
the magic
Poppins.
Of Mary Poppins, I mean that was the launch of where we knew we could do live action, because I mean before you had Babes in Toyland, which was not successful.
No.
But then you come around, you got Mary Poppins, and suddenly, hey, although I think the first live action, I think was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I think was his first
that
live
was
action.
A good one.
After Babes in Toyland has failed, he went and did that one. But then Mary Poppins, I think to me, launches what became like this Disney era of
not
all
to
these movies.
The writers,
there's a lot
the
I haven't seen. Nudge, nudge. We can put
the
podcast. You can make me watch stuff.
Not to mention the writers. What's the name? The Sherman Brothers.
The songs.
Oh my god!
The whole era, because I've never seen The Parent Trap.
Oh my gosh! Are you kidding? The original
Shaggy Dog.
Even the remake of Parent Trap was good. Dennis Quaid.
If I was going to watch, I wanted to watch. See, when I was little, it was Parent Trap fell in that category of it's a Disney movie, it's live action. I didn't care.
Oh, it's good. You got to watch The Old Yeller. I don't care what you say. You got to watch
The
Old
Yeller. I know. You're going to make me watch The Old
Yeller. You're going to watch
The Old
Yeller.
We're almost like previewing this. Because a lot of what's probably going to happen is there's a lot of old. I want to watch a lot of old movies because it's going to be a retro show like this one intends to be.
We can watch Song of the South. I have a copy.
I've got one too. They've been trying to put it out. But I've got it on my computer, but that'll work. But I would like to watch some of those old Disney movies. Heck, we can watch Johnny Tremaine. I see it up here.
That's a great movie.
That is a great movie. We can watch that.
Yes,
I mean,
that's a good one.
So that when you all get, make sure when I tell you all about this show launching that you get subscribed over to Watching Movies with My Pastor. There will be a YouTube channel that will be different from the podcast because Philip thinks my reactions are going to be really fun. Uh-huh. So he wants to put a camera in my face.
Is it going to be Watching Movies with My Pastor or is it going to be Popcorn with My Pastor?
Popcorn. It'll be on the same. I'll probably put it on Well, I probably might have had two different channels. I don't know, because the Neverland podcast channel, which became the Phantom Nexus, I have both on my personal Gmail YouTube channel, and then also I made a separate one because I didn't realize you can make more than one channel on one account. But Google has started to recognize that they are linked. So, I'm going to put it on one of those channels, so it'll be under that name, and then also that way, if Google starts letting me earn some money off of stuff, it'll be difficult with movies because. We don't want to bump into copyright, but if there's a particular scene that we're going to talk about, I've seen people who react to movies. Mm-hmm. They'll show a short clip to get what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'll watch that a lot, yeah.
And I'll make sure I put who it's copyright, who the film underneath that stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll have those versions, but the versions you'll see on YouTube will be definitely shortened.
Sure.
I will also for the audio versions, and those are going to be movies that I haven't seen.
Yes.
But I'll have audio versions of those as well that'll be on this podcast. But the exclusive members will get the full length version of a show or movie. If we have, because with a movie I haven't seen before, I'm not going to talk during it.
Yeah.
And I might give you a look like, wait, hang on, I'm trying to hear the movie. Although we might want to talk some stuff. But if it's a movie we've seen 100 times, we're going to talk the whole time, like we did for Batman. But I'm thinking I would like to have two different versions for those on the exclusive memberships and those who are Patreon. You're going to get the entire movie and you could sit and watch it with us. But maybe on the regular feed, maybe I cut it a little short. If we're not talking, I don't want you sitting there with nothing.
Sure.
So I want you to be able to just sit and listen to the audio. So there's going to be some stuff going on, but this is happening. But believe you me, there will be some Disney films because I haven't seen a lot of these ones from the 60s, 70s.
Good stuff.
Computer War, not all of them.
Some are bad. But
I still would like to see
the one I remember seeing at the theater,
because you have a bunch of stuff I don't have.
I was maybe four, and I remember seeing it at the theater, and I was all excited when it started, and it gave me the basic idea for one of my characters, color wise, and that was Condor Man.
Oh, Condor Man!
You remember the Owl Man?
Owl Man, yes, indeed.
Basic idea,
unlike the one that's seen in the Watchmen. This is a different Owl Man.
Completely different. But the truth is,
ran around with a guy called Toilet Man, which I just
I still draw. It was fun stuff. The truth is, I remember seeing that. I was all excited about it, but it was not that great of a film. It was one of those old British type of things from back in the 70s, and it had a real.
Actually, I think it was early 80s when that came out.
It came out like 1980, I think. But you could tell it had a 70s touch. It's funny when you watch a film that starts off in an early part of a decade.
I'm gonna look it up
real quick. Really looks like something that took place in the 70s if it came out in 1980 or 81 or whatever, most of the time. But if something came out in 1970, it looks like 1968 or 69 or something, because a lot of times when it's made, you just never know.
Technology and film has made like sudden leaps. 1981.
Yeah. Oh, here you go.
1981 was when that came out. Which the fun thing about that, I cannot think.
I would have been five, I guess.
Trying to think of the actor's name, but that is the actor who played Condor Man, the same one who made Phantom of the Opera famous on Broadway.
Right?
Yeah, he was the singer.
I didn't know
if
that.
I'm remembering correctly, I heard that was like, I think it's his one and only movie, and it's so bad.
Oh, poor guy.
But he's a tremendous singer. Let me look up cast. Michael Crawford.
That's him?
Michael Crawford, yes.
I had no idea that was him.
Played the original Phantom on Broadway. And has a great singing voice.
Oh, yeah, amazing. I've heard him.
And I've heard him sing some Christian songs, too. So
yes, he's got a great voice.
Yes,
amazing voice.
Great singer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think Condor Man was allowed to sing.
My ex-wife used to listen to him all the time singing oodles of songs. And he was amazing.
It wasn't in our wedding, but it was in our reception thing.
Yeah.
There's a song, Heather has an album of his or whatever, and there's the story of my life that she really liked that song, and she wanted it in there. So I made sure we had it play out. And I think it's in our DVD of our wedding.
Oh, yeah.
I got a montage of pictures of us growing up that I put that song in.
My favorite song on Mary Poppins is, well, there's too many of them, but one of my favorite songs is Spoonful of Sugar.
Heck yeah.
Which was, I love what they say about the Sherman Brothers is that my favorite Sherman who just passed away, which was Richard?
Richard just passed away. Robert's been gone for a long time.
Right.
Richard just passed away this year.
Robert was a little more serious than Richard. Robert brought the spoon and Richard brought the sugar.
And
they used
that's
to say,
way to look at
they
it.
Also used to say that Robert was a little too supercalifragilis, and they said Richard was a little more espialidocious. And they said that was because, now Robert, to his credit, he went through an awful lot.
Yeah.
D-Day
and other things. Wounded in the war.
He went through a lot. Now, Richard was the one who brought all the joy and happiness. And they were complete opposites.
Yeah. But they'd butt heads every
all
once
the
in a
time.
While.
But it was Robert, in this case, that came up with the idea of Spoonful of Sugar.
Yeah. And I think he got inspired because they actually saw something with a kid. Yeah.
His kid came home and said that they went to take the medicine. And their nurse at school said a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. They put a little sugar in the their medicine to help the taste of it.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was.
And that'll preach.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, sometimes you got to go a hard truth. You got a hard lesson in life. But, you know, you do it the right way. Do it with some love and some sweetness.
That is always what I go with now is preach the truth, but do it with compassion. Do with kindness, and as you see, Jeremy, you know,
and some goofiness.
I add a little bit of joy, a little goofiness, a little bit, basically, wink, wink. Not mocking the point of it,
right?
But try to bring a little joy to it, to let them see that you don't have to be hitting the pulpit, going at someone, and yet when it comes to hit the point, drive it home.
Even if it means he comes out wearing armored boots.
Oh yeah, I did. I wore because I was preaching about wearing the shoes of the gospel of readiness and peace.
Yeah.
Shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace.
And it even had drawn out a little picture of all the different things and passed out to everybody so we could see
his cartoons. And that was somewhat of a Disney-esque style of the old types of cartoons where they had shoes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how the elves.
One of them did remind me of the shoe from Roger Rabbit, by the way.
That was kind of my idea.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of that shoe.
I was about to say, you're wearing something, you brought your boot up.
That is the boot that I was wearing. Yeah, without the armor.
Without the armor piece.
And actually, this is the silliness of me, I bought the leather straps to go around and put them around this, and they went up to here. That way it looked a little more like the kind of shoes the Romans had, because there's no way I could find sandals. I was going to buy them.
Yeah.
The sandals, I got size 15 feet.
That would have been your feet being shown off, and we didn't want to see that.
No, you don't want that. So I just
mine are worse. Well, how are yours look? My toes are worse.
I combined it.
Yeah. So, a spoonful of sugar sells everything.
And I love the father.
Hey, princess, I was just trying to break it to you easy. Well, you failed miserably.
I love in that movie of
Hopefully
Mary Poppins.
Hopefully y'all got that reference.
In the movie of Mary Poppins, I love how the father, the actor who plays the father, and the boy.
I just had that page up.
And the boy who plays the son looks so much like him that it just fits so easily. I was like, man, it was just such a good film. And the animation was making. I also love
David Tomlinson.
Yes. I love how whenever they're riding on the carousel, I love how the horses look similar to those riding it. That's brilliant.
Yes.
I being an artist and all, you have to have fun with things. And I love it, like the horse that Dick Van Dyke is on has his chin.
Yes.
It was just so much fun.
Did I show you? Well, I don't have it on my phone anymore. You haven't gotten to go to the 100-year Disney exhibition down at Union Station yet. I think it's going to be pulling out here this fall.
Oh, we got to go, yeah.
Mary Poppins' horse.
Yay!
I got a picture of it because I had to. But I was thinking, I'm going to have to go again because Philip hasn't got to go.
Yeah, I got
to
take
it,
man.
But I'm a little concerned about your ability to walk around and be on your feet for the whole time.
I'll take a walker if need be.
Yeah, because you probably will be on a walker here. Because
I'm going to be surgery coming up. Surgery's coming up, yeah.
Yep, so he's got bad knees and a bad brain. He's just a mess.
So. I got bad knees and then my brain drives me insane.
I was thinking Wizard of Oz because that was this year. But all other anniversaries, and I didn't pull up anything of this, but I think I saw some of that Sound of Music had a 60-year anniversary this year.
I
might be getting that wrong, but I'm not entirely certain. I can't remember if I heard that right. But I do have... I want to mention that we're at 85 years of Marvel Comics.
Oh.
And they put out a video on YouTube kind of showing some things that are coming for Disney Plus, which it's hit or miss with me anymore with anything new Star Wars or anything Marvel. You know,
I
don't get my hopes up so much anymore.
No, that last one was kind of a...
But they did show a few bits that are coming for the new Captain America where they had... Because General Thunderbolt Ross is president,
yes.
And they had him behind a presidential thing, and he came up and he's all red hulked behind the presidential thing. It's like that looked kind of cool. So there was. I'm not playing the video, but I did go to the Marvel's official website, and I want to read a little bit of this from the 1930s. Harrison Ford.
That's gonna be great.
Yeah. Well, because they had, that's like lost two actors now that played the role. Because no,
there's one.
Yeah, because we just got a different actor because we had a handlebar mustache guy in the Hulk movie that Ang Lee did, and then we got the other actor.
You had
But yeah,
Sam Elliott played him in the
Sam Elliott. Yeah,
he was great
because he's Sam Elliott.
He was the best part of it.
Well, no, Jennifer Connelly was in that one though too.
She was great.
We were just watching Labyrinth last night of all things, but anyway. Yeah. But anyways, I want to read this.
I actually liked the movie that was Incredible Hulk. I actually enjoyed
that. Yeah, that is a good movie.
And I actually liked the actor they had playing Bruce. I don't care for the actor playing Bruce now. I'm not a big fan. He's okay as Hulk, but I don't like him as a person. He's annoying. And as an actor, I'm sorry, he doesn't fit Bruce Banner. He just doesn't look it. I'm not talking about him.
Well, it is Edward Norton getting back to that. Edward Norton can embody a character really well.
And
he got himself all scrawny and skinny.
He looks the role.
Yeah, does.
The other guy's too good looking, too big. He looks
short and stocky kind of overall.
He just looks too big, like the shoulders. I like Edward Norton, like Bruce Banner is supposed to be small. And I love
small
the
and
fact. And then Hulk, when you become Hulk, he's the exact opposite. Yeah. That was so good anyway.
Yeah.
But I like this.
I want to read this to
the guy playing him now. He's just not.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
I want to read a little bit of this because the 1930s, it says here, so this is off of Marvel's website. The first story set in Marvel Universe sees Professor Phineas Horton introducing his new creation to the public in Marvel Comics 1939. Number one by Carl Burgos. With synthetic skin that caught on fire when exposed to oxygen, the flammable android called the Human Torch took down criminals like Tony Sardo. In a story by Bill Everett, the issue also introduced Namor, the Submariner, who is supposed to be Greek. Okay. Began his war against the surface world by attacking deep sea divers and their salvaged ship, and also a mutant, the first mutant they determined. The issue was marked the first appearance of Thomas Halloway, a costume adventurer better known as the Angel and a Western hero called the Masquerader, Jim Gardley. In the 1940s, one year before the United States joined in World War II, Steve Rogers jumped into action in Captain America Comics in 1940, number one by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. The Super Soldier Serum transformed the frail Steve Rogers. We know about this. We had Bucky in there, Red Skull. Mm-hmm. Patriotic heroes were joined by new characters, including Toro, the Wizard, and Miss America.
That's right.
Their first crossover happened in 1940 in Marvel Mystery number 8 by Bill Everett and Carl Burgos, bringing Namor face-to-face with the Human Torch for the first time in a battle that resulted in a standstill. These two Marvel stars would later join Captain America and the All-Winter Squad throughout the rest of the decade. It seems like you're almost getting a hint of what could later have been the Avengers.
It wasn't called Marvel yet.
Right.
It was called, what was it called?
Timely Comics.
Timely Comics. Yes.
1950s, and I'm kind of getting just brief some of these. I'm not going to read every little thing, but in 1950s, as superheroes faded in popularity in the 1950s, romance, cowboy, horror, science fiction, and crime comics replaced them on the newsstands. The original Black Knight made a short-lived debut as a medieval hero fighting Morgan Le Fay in Black Knight number 1 in 1955 by Stan Lee and Joe Manley. Meanwhile, monster-focused titles like Men's Adventures and the early days of Journey into Mystery introduced readers to the likes of Rawhide Kid, the Wild West's newest protector, as well as Gorilla Man. Also, though, Captain America, Namor, and Human Torch did resurface briefly for a short-lived revival in Young Men in 1950, number 24. For less than a year, these heroes fought gangsters and Soviet-era communists before returning to obscurity. Captain America had been fighting Nazis, and now I guess they probably didn't know what to do with him. Yeah. But now, the 60s, and this is where I'm going to kind of stop, because this is the era that set us up.
Yeah.
Granted, we were reading more like the late 80s, 90s
Silver
ourselves,
age,
but the 1960s kicked off with, kicked off with H. A. Bang. Somebody needs to proofread at Marvel.
H. A. Bang.
Come on. Where's the editor? Where's Tom DeFalco? Yeah, some of you are going to get that. The 60s kicked off with H. A. Bang. I'm going to just read it that way. Bringing Marvel's first family to life in the Fantastic Four, number one, 1961 by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
That's it.
And a story that drew on the trappings of science fiction and monster comics, the Fantastic Four used their cosmic powers to take on the Mole Man and his underground monsters. But yeah, because you have a monster in but it's weird science fiction stuff.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. With dynamic art and complex characterization, the FF subsequent adventures expanded the Marvel Universe through the additions of characters like Doctor Doom, Black Panther, Silver Surfer, Galactus, and the Inhumans. And then, following that success, you have Steve Ditko bringing, helping of course, with, okay, he's pointing him out in the, behind him. He's got figures. So Steve Ditko comes alongside Stan Lee, and now you've got Spider-Man, X-Men, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, and Nick Fury. Several new heroes, Iron Man, Thor, Ant-Man, Wasp Man, the Hulk, assembled in Avengers number one, 1963, by Lee and Kirby. And when Loki manipulated the Hulk into attack Thor, the heroes stopped him and banded together to form the Avengers. A few issues later, the Avengers rescued a frozen Captain America, rounding out their founding roster after the Hulk left unceremoniously.
For a long time.
And now we're moving to like in the 70s. But I mean, that's the era. That's what really we launched it all. In the 70s, you have a lot of different things going on.
Oh, and tons of people came in the 70s. Just tons. Yeah. Ghost Rider and tons of people. And Ghost Rider, we already know who the reason was for that. Evel Knievel, real life superhero in a sense.
Yeah, and I remember the same place that I was reading like the first issue of Spider-Man that made me the Spider-Man fan I am today when I read those words, great power and great responsibility, and the original story of that. They also had a copy of Ghost Rider number one. And I was a little, whoa, when I found it, like, ooh, this was very devil stuff. And I was like, but they've got it worked. Oh, it's not Satan, it's Mephisto. I'm like, you're still coming really close. You're getting really close. But I like the fact that they've tried to turn the tables of like where he's trying to fight against that, but he's cursed with this power.
Kind of like
and he can't get rid of it. Yeah, Blade is like, I can't help that I'm part vampire, but I will kill the vampires because I'm the only one who can do this. So, yeah.
And the other thing that helped a lot you think about it, Spider-Man was very young.
Yeah, and you weren't supposed to do that. He's supposed to be a sidekick. Supposed to have normal human problems, too.
Young in the fact that he'd only been around a couple years for real, but they had already was making a cartoon of him, even though it was not a great animation, was all they had.
They could have done better animation because Hanna-Barbera was doing better stuff on TV than
Marvel. They had Submariner was another one, and
it was almost freeze frame, and then maybe the mouth would be moving, and then they'd have one arm move, you know.
And then they had Captain America and a couple others like that, but
they had a whole Marvel show, you know.
Hulk, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Hulk. I collected all those themes and we got CDs.
I imagine that you could have had the easiest theme songs, who's your hokey bokey, dumb. You
can make
You can basically make up anything. If you decide right now to make one about Thor, there's a guy named Thor. He's a guy named Thor with the hammer in his hand. It's Thor. And that's basically
what what the theme song was.
Yeah, it's what
back
you got.
Then.
That's what you would have
really
done.
It really was.
You know.
And even Namor.
Yeah.
Prince of the Deep, the savior of Atlantis is this heaven, you know.
Yeah. That's his name. And that's basically all you did.
Yeah. And it's kind of brilliant doing those cartoons because you get kids interested and then suddenly they want to buy the comics.
That's it. That's smart.
Yep.
And let's not forget,
because you have an intro that introduces the character like you don't know who they are.
I mean, they did that in DC as well. The biggest, Batman was going under. And then all of a sudden, and that really was going on. And the comics was going under. The only problem was because that did well. Suddenly they went even campier.
Yeah,
it was corny in the comics, but it went campy after that.
Yeah, it went plain silly. But I still love the silly Batman show. It's still fun.
That's why my stairway looks like it does with Adam West.
Yeah, it's got Adam West all over that doggone place.
I love it.
And a big Shakespeare head. And
it did, although it fell down. I had to fix it.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was one that Murray said something about falling. Okay, you're pointing over there, and I'm looking. Yeah, everybody can see me looking over that way. So, but that's a pretty good spot to just wrap this up. So I'm going to pull back out my show notes so I remember who all to thank as we wrap this show up. I hope y'all had fun with this. Remember, of course, you can send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Maybe one day when I have some more money, hey, guess what? You can become an exclusive subscriber through Red Circle or on Patreon, and then you can help me pay for extra things that
How
I need to do
Marvel
to get this
come
going.
Since then?
How far? Yeah. You threw me right off my train of thought. I need to get a new domain name for the Fandom Nexus. And it would be nice to have a domain for the upcoming Watching Movies with My Pastor. Mm-hmm. Until then, I'll probably just filter that through Red Circle, and maybe I can do blank.neverlandpodcast.com. And I even, for a while, I had a marvel.neverlandpodcast.com, where I still have a website for the Mighty Marvel Tooncast, which I've talked so often about bringing it back, which now with this mic setup, we can. I'm thinking we'll manage to pull that off, and that's basically we'll watch old Marvel cartoons and we talk about it. And how Tim and I used to do it, we try to do audio like a commentary, and I wanted to put it on YouTube, and we would watch the show together that way. But that never worked. It didn't, it went bad. And we were doing some podcasts. We would do that where we'd sum up the show, but then also have an alternate podcast where we were watching the show and talking about it. well, we'll just do watch the show and talk about it.
Yeah.
But we got to do our research on the character so we can add things to talk about. So that might be a show that we'll be able to come back in the future. But anyways, we'd like to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wallace Show. And oh, I almost forgot. Make sure you go to NeverlandPodcast.com and check out Podgagement by Daniel J. Lewis. If you happen to have a podcast, you want to get your reviews from around the world, plus a lot of other fantastic features, Podgagement. Click that link right through there. It helps me out. We are on Twitter or X. I believe I have gotten it changed over to the Fandom Nexus, but I've got it as Neverland PCast. I think I am still at Neverland PCast over there. We are on Facebook as Neverland Podcast. I do recommend joining the group because the group is a lot easier for me to post things to because I don't have to log in as the podcast. A fan page where you press like. Facebook has changed it to where I can't easily share. I have to, oh, you want to switch your account over? I'm like, why do I have to switch the account? I'm the admin of that. So the group I'm able to share more often, and when I find something fun to share with you, I do it, and I get to interact, and we do some fun retro things and some old TV shows, old movies. And I'm talking, I can put a thing up about Lucille Ball. I will go very old because we still grew up with Lucille Ball and I Love That's Lucy right. on syndication. We were little.
Hey, Lucy.
But I put a thing up about her today, so come and join the group and have some fun. You can interact with us. You also, as I've mentioned many times, donate through patreon.com and at Neverland Podcast. I have links for that on the website. I have right there in your show notes, you'll find links even for the Red Circle exclusive. Patreon is also fun because I have links to exclusive video on there sometimes when I interview somebody and I get some video of it. It's all going on. It helps out if you go and you sign up on there, and for just a very small amount, you really do help out the show. Otherwise, you get to listen to these ads because I have to pay for the show somehow. So enjoy the ads or enjoy all the other fun things you get because you don't have to hear the ads because you are a subscriber in that way. But make sure you're sharing the show with other people. We're going to have a lot of fun on this show. I'm hoping, like us, I'm a little concerned about keeping this one going because my schedule may be changing around. If I get auditioned into this theater company, I might have more times on weekends that I might have to travel to go and do stuff. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going to happen on that, but whenever I have something fun to do, I'll just jibba jabber about. We're going to jibba jabber about it, which reminds me of something I would like to also do kind of. Maybe he's in a different podcast altogether where we just watch TV shows, because I realized when I was a kid, we didn't watch The A-Team.
Oh!
And I've seen a couple episodes, and I watch a lot of clips of The A-Team on YouTube, and it's not streaming anywhere, dadgummit.
You know I have every episode.
Exactly, brother. We got to watch.
I have every episode of Dukes of Hazzard.
They have a Best of Murdoch thing and a Best of B.A. Baracus that's on an official YouTube channel.
I have every Magnum P.I. I got all these things.
I tried that first episode of Magnum P.I., but it bothered me. It's just like, this doesn't even make sense.
Wait.
But I need to go a few more episodes in, maybe.
I'm telling you, it's a great show.
I know.
Trust me.
But see, that could be another whole podcast, watching old shows together.
Yes.
And
popcorn,
what the heck, man?
The past, or whatever you call it.
Watching movies with popcorn with the pastors, that might be fun too. But that doesn't quite get across the point of what we're doing. But watching movies with my pastor,
yeah,
I think, because it has that cringe feeling of like, I don't know.
That's true.
Because I'm going to share a story, and we need to sign off of this. But
yeah,
I remember when we went with your dad to go see the assassination of Jesse James.
Yes.
And very beginning of the movie, there is some foul talk of these guys sitting around. And wondering if there's a difference. We'll just say a difference between a Native American woman and a white woman. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yes.
But I was sitting there going like, oh, and your dad was our pastor. And I'm just like, I know. You have that cringe moment when something happens like that. So, yeah. As we say at the end of every show, get lost. In an adventure.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.